How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Yes.
Oh,
indeed.
Saucy indeed. Indeed.
Yes. 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 I don't even know. Oh, I need to remember what episode numbers were on.
I think we're on 2045. Oh, you're probably more accurate.
I think I'm going to say 207. I'm going to look at it right here. I'm wrong. 206.
206.
206 with Brian Beacock. Woo! In the hizzle.
Hey,
gentlemen. Beacock.
Before the air, we were already talking about the Super Bowl, which excites me because our last couple guests didn't talk about the Super Bowl at all, and I wanted to. So, do you like the football?
I don't. I was saying,
never mind.
I watched it for the outfits. But
whose outfits?
Whose outfits had? Who
were those
best
people
outfits?
With the ball running back and forth?
The players.
The fleur-de-lis action. Yeah. Yeah.
Fleur-de-lis. They were running with a flirt. Is that what you're saying?
The fleur-de-lis is the sign, the symbol. It's on the Saints helmet, the fleur-de-lis, or the Boy Scouts, which I...
How awesome is it that the non-football fan knows more about football than we do?
Well,
that,
I know.
I mean, you probably didn't know who Drew Brees was.
I know Drew Barrymore.
He's got most of the first half of that sound right. Drew Barrymore.
You know what? You got me because I was trying to think of who, what team did Drew Barrymore play for? I was like, which one? I know it's got to be a team. Like, I'm like, man, this guy's got mad. Like, I'm assuming he doesn't have, like, you know, what's the superficial knowledge? It's all like deep, like tertiary or whatever.
Yeah,
like
tertiary, third level?
Yeah, like third level knowledge. Like, he goes, he doesn't go like epidermis. He's not on the top. He doesn't go secondary. He's like tertiary. He's like, I'm like, I get deep in there. I know Drew Barrymore plays for the Colts.
Work it.
That's all I know.
That's right.
But it's a second string kicker. Yeah. It's just the chick from He's Not That Into You. That's all.
That's what you remember Drew Barrymore from?
Yeah, why?
Not E.T. or...
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when she was in E.T., it's not okay for me to...
Charlie's Angels.
Look at those cans. Those are nice.
Charlie's Angels.
But Not That Into You came after Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, but that's a bigger film for sure.
Plus, here's the thing. In Charlie's Angels, she's also the... standing right next to Lucy Liu and Cameron Diaz.
50 First Dates.
That was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
I like that movie. But I feel like Jacob doesn't want you on the show. Jacob's sitting in Kevin's lap, and Kevin puts the mic in front of his face, and then Kevin pushes it away.
Okay. Thanks,
you know,
Jacob.
You know how long it took me to teach him that? It took me so long.
We sat here all week.
Okay, you gotta go? Okay, he's out.
He's out of here.
Wait, hold on.
Careful, he's wrapped in headphones.
Hold on. And free the baby!
And
that wasn't as dramatic as we thought it would be.
No.
What other noises can we distract?
Thank you. Yes, this is great out of the box.
Some carrots.
So what did you want to say about the Super Bowl? You called it. Your team won.
We both called the players of the Super Bowl, and then my team won. But we called it before the playoffs. Yeah. So
why is it your team? What is it?
Well, we were discussing the Super Bowl before the playoffs, and I said, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? He said the Colts, and I said, not the Saints? Mm. And that's all. I just thought the Saints would win. I wanted the Colts to win, but I had a feeling it was the Saints.
Saints had to win, though. That's the story. The Colts win, big deal.
I ran into a guy at the bank the other day who he said he looks like a, he was talking about my son. He goes, he looks like a little football player. And I said, well, his grandpa hopes so because my grandfather is always calling saying that he's got the number of some scout for the San Francisco 49ers and how he wants to take a look at Jacob to be quarterback. He's not going to be a kicker. That's my retirement plan. This is my grandfather's joke. And so anyway, his grandfather would love that. And he's like, you know, I'm starting to think that they fix that stuff. You know, I mean, you can't begin to tell me that Brett Favre, Hall of Fame quarterback, is going to throw just an interception that's going to cost him the whole game. And I didn't have the heart to be like, yeah, he would.
Yeah,
he totally
he's a
would.
Human being.
And then Peyton Manning to throw that interception to ruin the game for them. Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, it happens. Like, mistakes happen. One
They're
team
not
is
perfect.
Better than the other.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why we play the games.
Thanks.
See, I didn't see any of that.
Did you watch the game at all?
I did watch the game.
What was your favorite? What Super Bowl commercial did you enjoy?
I like the babies talking.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of babies. Oh, yeah. So that was fun.
Oh, did you not like it when Jacob
was
here?
No, I liked that one. That's a good one. I like babies that are like sedentary and quiet and not mine.
Yeah. Like dolls.
Like dolls. Yeah. But no, the baby one was fun, and then I saw the Betty White one.
The Betty White one was my favorite.
And I've been itching to tackle her for years. Yeah. So that was good.
Too. I like the baby one on the plane. That was my favorite one, where it's in the bag. It's like, Dad?
Yeah.
He thinks the pilot on the overhead. I also got me. But there was another one that made me laugh even harder. The Doritos one. That's what it was.
Yeah,
we talked about
Doritos
it on the dad
one.
Podcast that I do. Where he goes, they're in the gym eating a bag of Doritos, and I'm just shocked and awed that these two out of shape guys are in a gym eating like handfuls
right,
of Doritos.
Yeah,
just doesn't make sense out of the box. He's like, "Where did you get them?" "Oh, I found them in Tim's locker." He goes, "Tim, no, not Tim." He goes, "Put them away," and he spits them out, the ones that he has in his mouth. He goes, "Tim loves Doritos. You can't just take his." And then all of a sudden, a little Dorito comes out and sticks him in the neck.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh no, it's too late, Tim."
What I appreciated about that was the digital post production, because the chip that he spit out of his mouth every time they went to the Master Cut was this in the same place. Like that's some real either amazingly good continuity. They got it all in one shot, or they went back and digitally fixed it.
I think the actor.
They
was
just did it once, and they're
classically
like,
trained.
Perfect.
Right.
And to spit those Doritos in the same spot every time.
Yale Drama Theater.
Exactly.
I don't think that, yes.
Do you think they teach that stuff? They need to at some point. Because let's look at it. They teach in Yale, that's what we think of. Yale Drama Theater. Do you think they teach shitty commercial acting? I was trying
they
to find a
LA.
Nicer way to say it, but I couldn't think of it. Like,
if you get a new agent, I'm sure they'll recommend you to somebody that you need to go take their classes.
Oh, well, let's not wait that long.
I want to get this. I want to get this information when I'm getting my master's. That's what I want it to be.
Right.
And
which is also really important for television acting. Your master's.
All right.
Well, I don't know. I guess this is obviously is more my experience, because I just remember looking at it. There was what was it? I'm all Advil. That's. I'll never forget this. I went and read for this Advil campaign. And there were 20 people that are all in this little like place that
look just like you.
And I'm like, how does anybody say I'm all Advil in just the right way? Like, and I'm sure it came down to look, but how does somebody need to look?
Yeah.
To be able, how do you look like somebody who needs a pain reliever,
puffy,
and yet at the same time has lost it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't. That whole industry though totally tweaks me. I was dropping a computer off at a friend's work, and he's a camera operator, and they had an audition on a Saturday afternoon. I walk in the place, and I have a computer slung over my shoulder. And there's a room full of like 30 guys over the age of 60 was the spot they were doing, and every one of them broke away from their copy to look me in the eye with a giant smile. I don't know where I'm going, so I'm trying to figure. I'm looking around, so I look lost, and they're all looking at me like, yes, can we help you? Yes, please pick me. Yes, how are you? I'm like, just keep walking. Keep walking. Don't make eye contact with these 60-year-old men.
Oh, man. Those are the worst.
Yeah.
Commercial auditions are the worst.
Yeah.
And I never book.
Never. You never.
Book. Act like a chicken. You act like a... No. I'm going to flip you that bird and I'm out.
Now, have you ever lost it at an audition? Have you ever cursed somebody out or...
No, but I do comment on my own performance.
In the middle of it?
In the middle of it. I was singing
that
a song.
That goes over well, I'm sure.
Yeah. So auditioning for like a musical or whatever, and I'm not hitting the right notes, and I'm making motions with my hands like, sorry, and like, I should go. And yeah, I do that a lot.
Do you hate that you do that, or is it? Are you at a point now where it's like, you know what, this is me. If you want me, then here I am. Or
there's a point in an audition when you know that you're screwed, and so at that point you might as well make it as bad as you possibly can.
Hey, I love that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's definitely our mentality with this whole podcast.
We decide about 5 minutes in if this episode's going to be worth it all,
screwed.
And then
if it's bad, I just.
We just try to take it down like the Hindenburg.
People are like, why am I listening to this after half hour?
Who listens to this show, by the way? Like, who's your audience?
Who's our audience?
Mainly Justin's wife.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, now she only listens to the dad podcast.
So son of a... Why do I even come?
Oh, no, there's another one. Yeah. We lost the baby and the other guy.
I have a name. It's Kogar.
Which is a great story, speaking of Super Bowl. I think we've talked about it on the show. Kevin has a new girlfriend. Her name is Kat. Uh-huh. Very lovely lady. I'm a big fan. Jacob is a huge fan of his girlfriend. Big, big fan. And Kevin...
I've been trying to get Jacob to say my name, Superstar.
Since day one.
Yeah.
Okay, since day one, minute one, Kevin was there when Jacob was being crapped out of my wife. Yeah. Like, he was there. He was
a medical miracle.
He tunneled his own way out. He traveled his own path.
He thought he was going for freedom. Literally, no, it ended up in the same place.
He created an underground railroad. That's horrible. I'm sorry, listeners. But anyway, Kevin was there, and I find great pleasure in this because from minute one he was like, "Can you say Kevin?" And then he came up with this bit that he wanted him to think that his name was Superstar, so he kept calling him, "I'm Superstar. Can you say Superstar? Superstar?" And my son now is getting to the point where he's saying words and he's regurgitating things that he hears, right? So Kat's been around maybe
two months, this year.
In the 2 months, I think Jacob has seen her maybe four or five times.
Yeah, about that.
Something like that. And he's such a huge fan that he sits down next to her on the couch. And then she goes, "Can you say Kat?" Like, this is the first time she's ever even asked him the question. And he goes, "Kat."
Perfect. Crystal clear. Not every other word he says, like banana.
Banana.
Blah, 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 blah. Apple. Bopple. Up. Ugh. But Kat is like a recording of a baby saying Kat.
Kat and my wife. I don't know, because I'm sitting. Jacob is in between Kat and myself. Kevin is on the other end of the couch. Natalie's in our rocking chair. So she's on my right. Natalie's like, "Oh, did you hear that?" And like, Kat's like, "Oh, yeah." They're all clapping. I'm laughing hysterically because I know, even though I can't see, on the other side of Kat is a very red-faced Kevin Miller.
Not happy.
Not happy.
And they're like, "Oh, my gosh." And I think they even got him to say it again.
Yeah, he did it twice, which he never does. Usually he'll say it once, apple, and then agagagagal. I don't want to say anything else.
And Natalie's like, "Oh, that's so cool." And I go, "You have no idea how angry you just made Kevin."
So I ask him.
He goes, "Say Kevin."
Yeah, it was Kat, actually.
Because Kat was like, "Oh," and then she's like, "Well, say Kevin." And it was like, first we all laughed at it, but then I think Kat genuinely felt a little bit of guilt because her name was just, her full name is probably Catherine, and she didn't try to teach the kid that, you know, and she cares for Kevin, and she knows that Kevin cares for Jacob, which is just, all this makes me so happy. So he goes, she's like, she's going through this moment of just like, oh, like trying to make it like whatever just happened didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just like, "Oh, can you say Kevin?" Like she's going to teach him, and like maybe it has something to do with her, but she doesn't want to be the one to coax it out of him either. Like, you could hear all this in her voice. And so she goes, "Can you say Kevin?" He's like, "Coco, and then the closest he gets is Kokar, Kogar, Kogar.
So I am Kogar.
Kogar.
So now I think it's hilarious that he's known as a barbarian of Kogar. Kogar.
Kogar the superstar.
Exactly.
See?
I like it.
Maybe he's combining Kevin and Superstar.
Kevin Superstar, Kogar.
Oh, Kogar.
The old so-and-so.
.com. So people who listen to our podcast are people who love stories about babies. That's our demographic.
I have a feeling I'm in the wrong place.
No, you're perfect. But real quick, while we're moving on to another topic, I did want to ask you about this because Brian recently ran the New York Marathon. Am I right?
Yeah.
Did you really?
I did.
I have a question.
You did a whole like a blogging thing about it. But didn't you have like a name for it or something like that too?
Yeah, Midlife Marathon a Crisis.
Nice.
And I uploaded it to my iPhone as I was going videos and texting and hit a few curbs and poles and stuff like that. But,
did you really?
Yeah, it was,
that seems
it was
like a bad
really
idea.
Fun. Really, really fun. But I didn't train. I've run four marathons now, and I've run New York twice, and I never
have. You run the LA Marathon?
I hate it. I've run it twice. Yeah.
It goes right in front of our church this year, and the question is whether or not there will be people lined up in front of the the route, even though we're not at a mile marker. Will there be spectators there?
In front of the church?
Well, just at a random spot.
It's on Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah. It's not like a temple-looking church.
It's on Hollywood Boulevard. There'll probably be people there. But most of the route is desolate.
Yeah, they've moved the route.
There's no one there. Yeah, they did move it.
So now it goes down into a little nice area. But for the most part, you're saying there's not a lot of people.
We were going through landfills and people's backyards. And
Through the L.A. one?
Yeah. It was a pit. But now I guess it's like Ocean to Universal Studios or something like that.
Yeah, it goes
like
a little nice. I wouldn't want to run up to Universal Studios. That's an incline right there.
Oh, yes.
No, you just ride that escalator after you get off Jurassic Park.
Get on the mummy.
Yeah. So how many marathons have you run in your life?
Four marathons.
Four.
And then three sprint triathlons or whatever.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like 500 meter swim and 3 mile.
Oh, the triathlon,
run.
Like a regular triathlon.
Yeah, but tiny.
Where'd you do that?
San Diego. It's the first triathlon ever. Is the Mission Bay Triathlon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Now the reason I bring this up is because you just admitted that you did not train for the New York one. Do you train for any of them?
No.
Okay.
I run, though. I mean, I run, but the most I've ever run is 10 miles.
Isn't it like, like training, you're supposed to do this thing where you run, like, real quick and then take a day off and then run for a long time and then take 2 days off and then eat nothing but salami all day and cheese another day. And
you've read my book.
Cucumbers one day.
How to run into a pole.
I might be mixing this up with the guys from the water polo team. I just remember that the guys at the water polo team would come and they would just literally be eating, like, a log of salami all day. And I'd be like, what are you doing? It's my protein day. And like,
interesting.
Yeah, they had these. There was this philosophy about what you could eat. Like
salami seems like a bad choice since it's mostly salt. Why not just some grilled chicken or something?
These were high school kids. Oh, they
couldn't
eat anything.
They couldn't get their hands on chicken.
Maybe that was I would have loved to see. I wanted them to go Viking. Like just have a ham hock.
I'm doing the Warrior Dash. Are you considering coming to the Warrior Dash?
I've heard of that. What's
it's
that
the
deal?
Day before. It's the day before Easter, and we should go to the WarriorDash.com. And it's up in the hills-ish area, and it's a 3 mile run in very thick quotes with obstacles through mud, underneath barbed wire, over walls, and
shopping carts.
Pretty much. I mean, it's a giant experience of survivor with, and they have different waves and such throughout the day.
So it's kind of like the mud run, but uphill. So
with obstacles. And at the end, if you do all the obstacles, you get a big helmet made of fur and horns and beer. So it's not so much a marathon as an excuse to go drink.
Now, that's awesome. I have two thoughts on both of these then. I have no desire, because if I wanted to drink beer, I don't even like beer. I didn't even think that you liked beer. Do you like crawling through mud and barbed wire?
I do. I want
really?
To do this.
Is not a
oh, and you jump
idea.
Over flame as well. You jump over fire. I mean, how cool is this going to be?
And they have a checklist on the on the website that it's like cycling through this thing. Hold on, it says, let me skip to it so I can find it. Here it is. There it is. I missed it. It says free beer, warrior helmet, badass medal, live music, warrior shirt. Check, check, check. It checks all those off.
Got all those.
I'm going to get all those.
I don't have a desire to drink that much. I don't have a desire to
but
run.
But it's the experience. A bunch of us are going to go to thrift stores and get suits, and we're going to do the run in suits. It's going to be pretty sweet.
This is all good.
See? Oh. You understand. I'm going to blog the whole time. Probably lose a finger.
That iPhone's going to be trash.
If this isn't interesting for you, Brian, then please feel free to tell me. It's interesting to me because I have a hard time understanding what it is that motivates someone to running a marathon. I have a hard enough time.
Besides beer.
Yes, or mud.
Well, it's really a funny thing for me because, I mean, if you were to look at me, I'm a huge stud. No, I'm not. But
hold on. He's not being fair. He's a looker.
He's a good-looking guy.
But I'm clearly fit. But I'm not athletic. I never have been. I don't play sports. I don't understand sports. I know
you were bench pressing the car.
Something needs to go in half the time, but I don't know what it means. So years ago, the only sport that really suited me was running, besides the fact that I hate people and I want to be alone. So it was great. So running,
it's not a team sport.
And I was good at it. So that kind of is my thing. That's why I
did. Now, did you run like cross country in high school, or was it just like
when you
grew up?
Like late in life, like out of college, like when I moved to L.A., just something that I discovered. Oh, I'm 500 pounds.
wait, were you really like? I would imagine Brian Beacock was maybe 10 pounds overweight, and then decided he had to go run.
I just got chills when you said that.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
10 pounds? Can you imagine?
overweight. Not only 10 pounds.
No, I think he's saying that if he was 10 pounds overweight, he would kill himself. I think that's what he was going with. Yeah.
Got it.
So anyway, but the marathon experience is really fun. Everyone's crazy. Everyone's having just as bad a time as anyone else.
Really?
That's what it means. It sounds like a collective, like a community, a communal misery is what it feels like.
Exactly.
So why do it?
Well, because, you know.
Because of that. Like the idea of everybody suffering.
And me and my big mouth, I told someone that I was doing it before I'd even signed up. So I had to do it.
Never say.
Yeah.
Do you have? Do you experience even as like? Because here's the thing too. Like the week before, Brian and I were on the Sprout tour that that we did together a while back. And the week beforehand, like, we went to this barbecue joint, and he's like, I can't go nuts with the barbecue. I'm literally running a marathon in, like, 4 days. Like, so he's like, I haven't trained. He goes, the least I could do is not eat beef ribs. Like,
covered in sugar. probably a good call.
And I, being a not good friend, I was like, you could walk most of the time. Come on, man. Have a good time with us. And then, in retrospect, I was a horrible person.
Yeah, you kind of lulled me into a false sense of security. And come race day, I realized how wrong you had been.
Really? I was responsible for this?
Well, yeah. I mean, I trust you.
Really?
Why? He's never run a marathon.
I know.
And we literally met each other. Like...
But he seemed to have a great knowledge of ribs. So.
That is true.
You know?
Was that your first marathon that you
ran? No, this was my fourth.
That was my fourth. Yeah. So why did you believe him when he said you could walk and eat ribs?
Because I wanted to. I wanted the ribs. Well, I wanted to believe him.
That's what it's the same thing as Natalie that we were talking about right before we fired up the mics, is that Natalie was offering Brian all this food and stuff like that. And he's like, no, I'm working out. I'm doing this thing. And so then she's like, oh, okay, well, do you want, like, Klondike bars? And
right.
So that's what my stupid-ass wife will do, is that whenever I hit, here's what I've realized. My addiction, right, that I have is sugar and food, like sweet foods. Like, I have an issue with it, and so right now I'm wrestling, right? You know, and maybe I should go into a 12-step program, but it doesn't really affect my life or my work, and because I've lowered my cholesterol, so I'm at least healthy now.
Good job.
But I do need to lose 20 pounds, according to my doctor.
Bad job.
Yeah, exactly. So does that give you chills to be 20 pounds?
I'm fine. I'm on this side of the table.
So anyway, so as soon as I say, you know what? That's it. I've had it. I've done. This is it. I'm buckling down. Literally, the next day, sometimes even that same night, she'll go to the grocery store and come back and go, I got you Rocky Road ice cream that you love.
Yay.
I got you stuff for root beer floats, or I'm gonna bake cookies, or we eat dinner.
A cake,
and she's
the
like,
size of your baby.
Exactly. You want brownies? I want brownies. Don't you want brown? And this frickin' bitch.
Oh, wow.
And we talked about this on this show before.
At least he said frick. So
yeah.
That was nice.
I'm trying to clean it up. She can eat whatever she wants.
Oh, yeah.
She can eat whatever. Genetics. Like, just the genetics that happen over there. Blow my mind.
Will your son get those genetics, or will he be blessed with yours and your dad's?
It's hard to say because he has my ass and lack thereof. Like, he's got like a little, like, it, literally his pants. He can wear pants that are like 7 months younger than him because his ass like is so small.
No,
his waist is so small. And then if he wears pants at the age that he should be wearing them, because that's what, for whatever reason, they do sizes for babies in their age. Like, it's for 2-year-olds or whatever. Like, which would be an interesting thing. I wonder how that would work with adults. Like, if I
think
had to
it would
wear
go a little
size
something.
31 pants.
Like this. I'm 28. Can I get a shirt? This doesn't fit me. And scene. Yay!
Should have gone with a Carter shirt.
Yeah.
They're a little
bigger.
You
have good jeans, though.
What do you mean?
There's nothing wrong with you.
No, there's a lot wrong with me.
Well, I know, but not that part.
What do you mean?
Nothing wrong with the way you look.
My body?
No.
Oh, there's a lot of coverage. There's
what
a lot
happened
of,
when
like,
you cutting. Got your appendix out? Did you ever tell that story?
Yeah, when I got my appendix, this is when I was 20 pounds heavier than what I am now. The doctor came out. You know how like when somebody goes in for a surgery and then the doctor comes out and goes, okay, we went, you know, things went well, and he's in the recovery room.
2-pound baby.
He comes in and sees my my wife and my mother and my father, and he goes, are you his wife? And then she goes, yes. He doesn't say, he's okay. He doesn't say anything. Oh, he goes, are you the wife? And she goes, yes. You need to put him on a diet, because I had to cut through 3.5 inches of fat just to get to his abdomen.
Slap on the wrist.
That's what she said. She goes, I almost punched that son of a bitch in the face right there.
Was it 3.5? I thought it was just 2.
No, it wasn't. Was it 3.5 inches?
Oh, boy.
More than 3.5 inches?
Larger than...
Is she talking about my penis or my fat?
Scar. It's 2.5.
No.
2.5 inches of fat.
It was, yeah, he said 2.5, and he talks like he's a fat ass, and he's not.
He's not.
I am.
He's not.
I am.
You got enough hype going for you.
Yeah. You're 5'4".
If I slap some heels on, I would look so trim.
And right, the next segment. I'm gonna
Justin cross-dressing.
So, all right. Well, that's enough of me then.
Because
here's what I want to ask you about is that this idea of the wall that runners talk about, where it's like you hit a wall where you're everything in your being. Because here's what happens with me when I run. I go 2-3 minutes, and then my body and my head already start saying, why are you doing this? Stop doing this.
Yeah.
Stop doing this. And then my shoulder will start hurting. I don't even understand why my shoulder hurts.
Proper, improper swing use of your shoulder. Motion.
I'm running. What are my shoulders doing?
You're not standing up straight. You're like leaning too far forward, or you've got too much of a swing in your arm.
I am swinging like a left hook, like a boxer, whatever. Right. Is that not the way you're supposed to
run? Are you being serious? Because that's definitely the problem.
Oh. I should probably stop that then. Well, I always want to be prepared if somebody tries to mug me.
Okay, why?
Because I'm at a moment of weakness. I'm a chubby man.
But they
I'm
would
jogging.
See you doing that and think, don't go on his left because clearly he's
not
got
as
some...
many people play video games as I think, and they don't know how to time it because it's at a rhythm, and they don't know to wait back and then, time it when I'm on the pullback, and then they could come in and shank me in the abdomen or something.
Wait, you have a fear of being in a marathon and someone mugging you?
It's just not a rational fear. I thought that's why marathoners do
running
that,
out from the Best Buy and clocking you in the face.
Yeah, I thought that's why you guys always run in these like bad neighborhoods of New York and Boston and LA.
Chicago, yeah.
Running through landfills, so you know people are going to steal you for your bananas.
Wow.
Should stop carrying bananas on that marathon.
What?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. My penis.
Oh, no.
Cool. That's cool.
But yes, the wall.
Yes.
The wall. You do hit the wall at different times. And
how long is a marathon? 22 26, weeks?
22 weeks. I'm still running it, actually.
I know. Would you stop for what?
I appreciate Brian checking in via Skype.
It's 26.2 miles.
Why that number?
That is actually, my history is crap, but it's actually the distance that was run by Pheidippides from Athens to somewhere to deliver a message.
Oh, that the British were coming?
Back in the olden days. Right. And then he died.
Oh, you sure that's not Paul Revere and the British were coming?
No,
I'm sure that's not it.
It was 26.2 miles to deliver a message to the king or the prince.
And he died after the completion? So, mm-hmm. So
let's
everybody
celebrate
runs
it.
A marathon to say, I'm better than this Euripides dude?
Thin the herd.
Touche. Touche. So, I'm a big fan of this, you know, genetic natural selection.
Oh,
some
please.
People have to go. Let them go. Let them slide.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
You want to let everybody go in the planet?
Well, no, just slowly. It's happening, too. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Wait, what? You mean to tell me that at this moment I'm dying is what you're trying to say? No, I feel like our listeners should know that Brian is not a scientist. All we've verified is that he likes to run long distances to prove that he outlived some guy back when the median age was 22.
Yeah. Not a historian. I'm not a sports star, and I know nothing about football.
What's the Saints emblem called?
It's a fleur-de-lis, and I actually have a tattoo of it right here.
Do you really?
Ankle.
Oh, that's
really?
Why you know what it is.
Yeah, when I went to New Orleans, I got this done. Yeah.
Your hand's covering it. Do it again.
Kevin has to see it so that he can verify it.
It looks good.
Thanks for the heads up, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you for the fleur-de-lis.
That was uncomfortable. I didn't say where it was, did I?
where did you get that? Why were you in New Orleans and felt tattooish?
I've always had this kinship with New Orleans for some reason.
Yeah,
jazz.
Yeah.
My dad was a jazz trumpet player back in the day, and so he played there for a while, and I just love it there.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for New Year's once. It was crazy.
Yeah. You can. There's drive-through alcohol places.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive-through. I've heard of this.
Yes.
Like Texas also does this, is that it's based on the idea that if you get off work, stop in a bar, and drink, you're more likely to drive drunk. But if they let you just pull through a drive-thru, buy some booze, and then you drink while you're driving, then your blood alcohol level won't be high enough to where you'll be driving drunk by the time you get home.
Is that the reasoning?
That's the reasoning I heard from Texas.
I think that they claim that, but really what happens is you go to a bar, then you hit a drive-thru on the way home, and you're already drunk. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm a big fan of the Texas putting the law in that way, in that I should be able to partake in a can of beer while I'm driving my car, if it is my desire, as long as I am not driving while intoxicated. Like I do like that idea. Although now the more I'm thinking about it is that another level of what is it?
stupidity,
patrolling or whatever, like that I want to have.
Monitoring.
Yeah, monitoring, where the cops also have to be looking for that when clearly all they're worried about is whether or not good-paying taxpayers are clicking or ticketing or driving four miles over the speed limit.
I saw a new one today. It was like tarp it or be harpeded. Something. It was like
terrible.
It was the worst slogan ever.
I think that sign was broken.
Yeah.
Was
that? It was about tarping it. It said like tarp it or be sharped. It's the law. It's some
for
sort
like
of,
a flatbed. Like
for yeah, exactly. You have to tarp
cover
it.
The illegals.
Tarp it or yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think I just saw a Chinese under there.
The coyotes now have a standard that they have to live up to.
Good.
They cannot let their immigrants be covered in rain. It's wintertime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
well, they don't want to be sick. Yeah.
Would immigrants, illegal immigrants, make it in your people that should not be slowly dying on the planet? You said that you would be happier if everybody was dead, and I was wondering where did the illegal immigrants rank on that list?
So you're boxing me in. You're trying to paint a picture here.
Fair.
Are we playing it? We're going right to a political game
here? This is a no-spin zone.
He asked you if you thought who should die. You said everybody.
Okay, so here's my list. No, I have nothing to say.
All right, good.
No. What race group do you not like? Let's just get real.
Anyone on the Amazing Race? No.
Nice. Tarp it or carpet.
Right? That's terrible.
Yeah, I can't remember what it said.
Oh, man.
You know what I like best about that moment there is that I was just coming up with a stupid question to ask, and Brian made it real for me.
He got defensive.
I've been media trained.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I'm supposed to be the person who knows how to deal with that. And I was just like, you reacted to that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just asked him a question. Is it appropriate?
But trust me, I do have an opinion.
But you will not voice that opinion here or anywhere.
I'm going to give you a box of crayons. You use the colors.
Just put them in the order that you think
they should
best suits the box.
Number one, pink.
Number two, Italian pink. Number three,
Alizon crimson. Oh my gosh.
Oh, good time, right? This is fun, right? You having a good time, Brian?
Yeah, this is awesome. The last time I did this was on Mark and Brian. Do you guys remember Mark and
Brian? Yes! I used to listen to Mark and Brian on my paper route as a child. What did you do on Mark and Brian?
I was in a show 100 years ago. I was one. called Naked Boys Singing, and I was completely naked. It's actually a really huge...
So you were naked on the radio singing?
I was naked. I went to the radio station with all the guys. We're all naked. And we had... you have to wear badges, but we had nowhere to clip them, so we clipped them on appropriately placed hair and
sang.
Are
you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they just loved it.
What are the odds that this is about 18, 20 years ago?
No. This is about... maybe 10 years ago?
10 years ago? Oh, never mind.
Maybe more. Why?
Because this morning.
I could have sworn that I was riding my bike, delivering papers, and had them talk about... they talked about this very thing on Mark and Brian.
18 years?
I would have been anywhere between 8 and... it could have been 16 is when I stopped doing the paper route.
It's possible.
So that would have been 14 years ago. 14,
oh, that makes...
15.
Yeah, that's about right.
Really?
Yeah.
How crazy of
crazy?
A small world.
I was playing with the baby and tuned out. Are you guys done figuring out that calendar?
We're still talking about naked.
Got it.
I really think I heard Brian perform nude on Bark and Brian while riding my bicycle delivering the Modesto Bee in my hometown.
Wait, how old were you that you were singing naked on the radio?
Well, in case anyone's really good with math, I'd rather not say.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Here's what I want to know.
Don't ask a gentleman.
You weren't 8. No, I was like 27 or something that. Yeah.
Your concern was that he was underage.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned. Oh. You said boys and singing.
Really? Think Mark and Brian is going to have a 13-year-old?
I'm just
Here's
asking.
The thing. Even if they did, he's obviously okay. He's consented. You know, he's like, it's not like he's like, and then they touched me afterwards.
What's wrong with you?
It's called Naked Boys, but none of us were boys. But the show went on to run. It's actually still running on Broadway. It's running in like 15, 20 shows all over the world. And it's crazy.
Do they rotate in new boys, because if it's, you know, I mean, 50-year-old
yeah, we have to wheel yourself out.
Saggy scrotum. Yeah, exactly.
You've got tennis balls on
right.
Your...
Do they draw like a Sharpie line on your thigh when your cast is like...
Where to cut.
Like aging a tree. All right, sonny boy, when they drip below this little marker, that's it. God. You're done. Time
it
to move on.
It was a funny experience. My mom came and saw the show like 3 times, sat in the front row.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Well, she was there for the other dudes, right? Because she'd seen your junk.
As far as I know. Yeah, exactly.
Is there a story to it, or are you just singing
songs? It's a musical
songs
review. It's just about being naked.
Oh.
You know, growing up being naked.
Now, is it like, do you perform it like choir style? Like, are you guys just kind of standing, or is there choreography?
No, it's scenes and blah, blah, blah.
It's like, I Love You Perfect, Now Change.
Exactly.
Does
anyone know that?
We do.
Yeah. Thanks to Jeremy Carso, who was a guest on this show last year.
Yeah.
He made me listen to it, and we did it at, I was in the musical theater company at San Jose State University. Go Spartans.
Go Spartans. Yes, Natalie, we see the baby holding a banana. Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
He's eating it like a monkey.
And we're back.
I totally got distracted by the banana.
Musical naked people.
Oh, that's right. So you would be doing scenes. And now, was this like a hurdle to overcome, I'm assuming, to be able to stand in front of people nude? And
you know what's really funny is that the hardest part, well... That's a joke. But the most difficult part every night was just like any other show.
Oh,
was like,
I get it.
Am I going to be able to sing? Am I going to be able to do... He didn't even think about the naked stuff.
Really?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I wasn't one of those guys that like, you know, just took their clothes off.
Yeah, you're
anything.
Not like... Yeah, you don't strike
like
me
like at Ralph's or whatever. I didn't do that. But
just
no.
Because I had a friend of mine who, when he first came to L.A., he was a PA for like porno shoots. And he said the most uncomfortable part, or not uncomfortable wasn't the word he used, I guess the most interesting was that watching a guy, you know, kind of handle himself leaning on like a camera stand, talking to the cameraman about going to the grocery store. But he's got to keep himself locked and loaded. You know, he's got to have one chambered at all times. So he's handling it while he's like casually talking. So I guess at a certain point you become kind of desensitized to the idea of being nude in front of
well,
people.
Well, yeah, and all I had
that's
to
like
do was sing a ballad.
Level.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I was going to say, that's
an unfair comparison.
That was
I apologize,
a really
Brian.
Whacked out comparison.
This is what I do, all right? What I do is I take
you
whatever somebody says and then I have to run it through the filter that is me.
Yeah.
It may not be the healthiest way to have interactions with people, but it's what I do.
It's what I do.
Yeah, the dish fell out and broke on the floor. Yeah, I saw 100,000 people get murdered by this car train accident. It was terrible.
You've known me for 12 years.
Nuclear holocaust.
And you're just now getting this.
Yeah.
If I had a story about being naked in front of somebody.
You do have a story about being naked.
I do?
Naked. Yes.
Do you?
Yeah. You do. You have a few, actually. I can think of several.
Yeah, Natalie
times.
Wants to hear this.
Yeah, there are several stories.
She stopped.
Oh, she's doing it. Oh.
Yeah, there's that one.
That's what it
there's
was.
That
yeah,
one.
You're right.
But tell the story about how you were working at Red Lobster on your first day.
I was a server. We haven't told this on the
You've show? Never told this story on the podcast.
When we were living in Stockton, I got a job at Red Lobster to like kind of help, you know, pay for rent. Like, why would anybody else get a job serving? I'm stupid. Anyway, I go
because you
training.
Have a heart for it.
Yeah,
you have a dream to contribute to
but
society.
If you're European, maybe, but if you're American, then you're a loser. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, I went to this training, which is basically the guy watches you wait tables and then takes your tips. Like, I'll never forget the first table I did. Like. I wonder why I'm so ballsy, but he literally, I go, hey, great, I made $6. He's like, no, you didn't. And he took it. I go, whoa, but I did all the, he goes, no, I'm your trainer. This is how it works. I'm teaching you. I have to watch you. I don't get tables. So this is how I make my money. I'm like, well, how do I make my money? When I'm done training you, that's when you get the money. I was like, oh, this sucks. So for 2 weeks, I had to wait tables while this other guy watched and took all the tips. And then first day without, I had a lunch service. And it was Sunday, I think it was, or no, Wednesday, I think. Wednesday. Anyway, I was trying to think of why the ladies showed up. So anyway, there's these two chicks come in with this guy. And these chicks had the look of experience, if you would. Hmm. My father calls them, where he says they look like they've been rode hard and put up wet.
Professional.
That's how, yes, professional. All right, working ladies, I guess. So they're sitting there, and this guy is very particular. He asked for a server who's usually there during lunch. On this day, he was off, and he goes, "Hey, where's so-and-so?" And I'm like, "I'm not." And he goes, "Wait, you're new?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, you're going to screw this up." I said, "I guarantee you I won't screw it up." He's like, all right. So I'm taking, like, copious notes on this guy's order. He has very particular, like, he wants margarine and not this for this, but butter for this, and he wants a big
red
potato.
Lobster? Weird.
Yeah. He's very particular about how he wants everything on it, so... While I'm taking it, I finished taking the orders. I guess one of the girls was like, "Give me another minute or whatever," and she goes, "He goes. What do you think of these two girls here?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Do you think they're pretty?" I said, "Yeah, they're very beautiful." Like, what was I supposed to say? He goes, "Well," he goes, "Are you new in town around here?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, these two ladies, they dance in private booths at such and such place. Like it's the name of an adult store." So they said, he goes, "Why don't you come by one of these days after work and these girls can dance for you in a booth and everything." Now, if there's one thing, especially I think 19 at the time, I was 21 because you had to be able to be 21. So I just turned 21. Have to be 18. Yeah, so 18. I was 19. So anyway, I was super embarrassed by the idea of women dancing naked at this point in my life and probably still to this day if it happened. I can talk about it. But so anyway, I start getting nervous. And I go, and he goes, "Yeah, come on by." I'm like, "Oh, okay. And I'm sweating underneath my little red polo that I had to wear. And he's like, "It's over at such and such." I'm like, "You know what? I'm just trying to get out of this." I go, "You know what? I don't know anything around." I go, "But I'll just, you know," and this is also before you could just Google anything where it's like, you know. And he goes, "Well, I'll give you directions." And so I flip over his ticket and I start writing. He's like, "You're going to turn left." But I couldn't focus on what he was saying. So all I did was I was like, "Well, I can't just stand here." And he's going to know if I'm scribbling, like if I'm just making scribble lines on my pad. So I'm just writing, "Please help me. Please, somebody just make this stop. I just want this to end. I don't have nothing to do
you,
with this."
Who are you writing that to?
Myself. I was just writing it so it looked like I was writing letters and not just like drawing, right. Like
kill
squiggle
me
lines.
Now.
Yeah, like, "Oh, anything to get me out of this situation, please, for the love of God." Like, so anyway,
that's hilarious.
So now I'm sweating and they'd sat me with another table of like five old ladies right next to this guy. So I came back and now I'm making salads and one of the cocky SOBs that
I love the mime for making salads.
That's how I do it.
Splashing
it's
water
like a
in your armpits.
Yeah. Like, making the salads.
I'm not eating that.
Something's wrong with the salad. It's just a plate. Where does all the lettuce go?
So anyway, one of the guys who was like a cocky SOB was like, he goes, "Look at this guy. He's got two tables and he's already sweating. Oh, he'll last a long time." And I was like, "If you only knew what I was dealing with, you jerk.
If you only could read this note."
So I go back out there and I get the salads and everything. I take the old lady's order and I find out through like that they're like a Bible study group that's coming there for lunch and then they're going to go back to one of the ladies' houses and they're going to read scripture.
Probably BSF.
And I don't even know what that means. So I go back and I get the plate for the guy with the two strippers or whatever they're called.
Dancers.
And then I put the plates down. And then I turn around to check on the other table. And I literally set the plate down, turned left, and then came back around. And the butter that he was very specific about needed to be like where it was within the potato. I think it had to be on the side. Mm-hmm. Like I saw the little dish was empty, but it didn't look like there was a ton on the potato. And I was like, "I don't know where it is." And I go, "Did you need some more margarine?" And he goes, no, "I'm good." He goes, "You know what a great thing to do with margarine or butter?" And I went, "No." He goes, "You take it and you rub it on your balls."
Oh, God.
And you just let a German shepherd go to town. Now, at this point, I'm losing it. I'm like probably close to fainting if I'd ever fainted before. Like I was like, "Oh, like the room is spinning. I'm very uncomfortable. I'm trying to find a way to have like polite, sincere banter with these adult film stars." Meanwhile, the church group, like it sounds like it's out of like some horrible SNL sketch they would put right before the second musical performance. But it isn't. It was my life. And I'm trying to find a way because in my stupid teenage head, I didn't realize that it's not this. Whether I get $5 or $6 or $3 over here isn't going to make or break my life, you dumb SOB. Yeah. Just move on with your life. But in that moment of panic, the room's spinning, I go, "Why does it have to be a German shepherd?" He's like, "Because it's got a big freaking tongue and it just la 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 la." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
Did you write that down?
No. No, but I will never look at a German shepherd the same, I'll be honest. It hits me every time I see one. Every like, time I
do
see
you
a
wonder is that what happens?
No, curious? No. I think of that man and those two chicks. I can right. I could picture they were both wearing like I don't know if you guys remember, but it used to be cool to wear the sleeveless like not like a bodysuit, but it had a zipper too in the middle. Yeah. One was wearing a red one. The other chick was wearing a black one.
Like a Let's Get Physical kind of action.
I don't remember Let's Get Physical. I just remember that's what they like. It was sleeveless and it had like a zipper with a long little thing that hung down from
yeah.
the zipper.
Yeah,
I can
and then
see
it could it wasn't, but it didn't go low enough where it was like down at their sternum.
Yeah.
But the zipper came down to just above cleavage level kind of thing. So it wasn't for like, I don't know, flash dancing.
Unzipping. That's awesome.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't really have any
now, what
other...
would modern day Justin do in that same situation?
Get a dog.
Let's
get a dog.
Move on.
Try it out.
What would modern day Justin do in that situation?
You know what you do, man? You know what's a great thing to do with some margarine is take it and rub it all over your balls so a giant German Shepherd can go to third base.
That's great. Ladies, come here.
Come on over here, church group.
Tell the church ladies what you just said, you son of a bitch.
100,000 people die. End of Justin's fantasy.
I would have probably like said it louder, yeah. like so everybody in the room could hear, just because then it would be over the top tour. Maybe it would be funny. Or I would, I don't know. I would try to say I would never do that to an animal.
Or say like, well, they like peanut butter better.
Yeah, that's, I would have done that. That's a smarter, funny
that's a
way.
Good one, yeah.
I would have tried to play like a PETA angle. Like yeah, I would have tried to pass. I wanted to make him feel. I would try to turn the uncomfortableness back on him. That's what I would try to do by saying, you know, something like, well, I'm a PETA. I love animals, so...
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's why it's disgusting.
You disgust me. Only because I love animals. On no other level is it disgusting.
And then set your clipboard down and glare as you walk away slowly.
Enjoy
or
your fish.
It might also be funnier... It might also be funnier to tear off the notes of directions that I had and go, well, guess who's not coming to your little place? Because I don't want to know what dogs are doing to these lovely ladies. All right?
There it is. That's the winner.
And scene.
That's the version I want to watch. Thanks for the director's cut.
That's what I do. I give you options. I would do the same thing if it was a commercial shoot. I would be like, I'm all Advil. Advil is all me, motherfucker.
Okay. Nobody
you probably wouldn't
Advil.
Use that one.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, we're good. You're not going to be the guy.
Huh? But I'm all Advil.
Yeah, can we get him out of here?
All Advil.
He's not even.
Oh, boy.
Advil, am I on?
Let's bring him back.
Now we got it.
I'm a big fan of the Yoda.
I'm big Tylenol, my bitch.
What is that? Is that still Yoda? Get out of here.
I'm gangster Yoda, y'all.
Gangster Yoda, am I, y'all? Let me think.
Oh, speaking of what you do. You also do like a lot of voiceover work and stuff too. What, I forgot. Isn't there a show that you're currently on, or am I?
Yeah, I'm doing like Blue Dragon, Digimon, Naruto, Bleach, Gormiti.
Wait, there's a show called Bleach?
Yeah, it's really popular. I've never seen it. It's really popular. It's on Cartoon Network, I think, or Late Night Swim or something like
Adult
that.
Swim. Adult Swim.
Adult Swim, yeah. I'm on a couple of those.
That's great.
How did that get started? Or is this fun for you to talk about? Or we can talk about something else, whatever you want to talk about.
About 10 years ago, a friend of mine was directing a show and had me come in an audition. I didn't have a tape and never done it before and booked that gig.
It's kind of your thing. You show up for stuff you've never done before.
That I've never done before.
And you nail it.
Like this. I've never done this before.
And he's hitting it out of the park.
I can't believe it.
So, and I booked that gig and then literally, work beget work.
Yeah.
It was great. So yeah, I've done a lot of series and stuff, and it's really fun. You show up, you could look like crap, and you make a little funny voice, and that's it. Big deal. Where's my money?
Do we pay him for tonight?
No.
Suck.
Well, I think we have to because he's union. I think that's part of his deal. Jacob has joined the show again. This is what he does. He'll sit on either my lap or Kevin's lap, and then he just kind of sits in there like he's just, I'm on the show now, guys.
He doesn't know he's not.
Doesn't know that he'll like kind of talk, and he'll occasionally laugh at something.
We should get him a little microphone so then he can stop using mine.
We have an extra one. We could just hook it up
that's
and set it up on the table.
It'll be adorable.
Oh, he wants the carrots.
Oh, you want a carrot? You can have a carrot, bud. Here, take a carrot.
A carrot? It's It's good for you.
This is some great radio. Yeah. The baby is now taking the carrot from the jar.
I listened to, I think it was KFI or something the other day, and they were eating food on the radio. They were eating MREs, meals ready
to eat. Oh, really? Yeah. My brother is in the Army, yeah.
But it was terrible radio.
Yeah.
They just sat there going, this is good.
After we're That's done, all they could say.
Yeah. After we're done, I need you to explain that to my wife.
MRE, what?
No, just explain how horrible it was to listen to people eat food. Because right about this time, we're getting close to the latter part of the show. This is when she'll come in. The kid is done, so then she's going to come in and grab some cookie
dough.
She's
bored, so she needs... No, she feeds it to us.
She'll
set it down.
Like
she's playing. No, she just said for us to eat like she's playing a good hostess, which would be fine if our job wasn't to talk into a microphone right now.
And then she gives us food that is like the worst that she's done.
Do it.
Here she goes. Crackers.
The worst that she's done is that for Easter she gave us these like candy coated malt balls that were just
none of us could stop ourselves.
Yeah, we couldn't stop eating them.
We're like, yes. Oh,
gosh. Drives me absolutely insane.
And they were good too.
A damn wall. Do you have a pet peeve at all, Brian? Other than babies?
Sounds bother me. Sounds do bother me. Like I hate bouncing balls, basketballs.
Really?
The
really?
Sound of a basketball drives me nuts. A telephone?
Ringing. You must have a problem with that on a regular basis.
I think I have a problem in general. But
so ringtones coming about were like great for you.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I can hear my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. But
that's great.
Yeah.
But
really? What about like fire bells? Anything like that?
That's okay. But like a barking dog will drive me batty.
My downstairs neighbors have a dog that woke us up for a long time, and I called the cops on them when they had an altercation with me. And then last night, for the first time since that dog incident, maybe 6 months ago, they were out there partying, just talking and really loud.
I wake up
at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not kidding you. I could recite verbatim what she was yelling at the other guy. It was crystal clear. And I turned to you, Eli, and I told you we were going. I'm not exaggerating. You and Philip wouldn't go.
You're like, Eli, go.
I know. And I go outside. I looked and I realize it's the same people that I had set the cops on earlier in the year. And I'm like, I just don't feel like I just start praying, Lord, please let them go inside.
Was there anything interesting about the conversation?
No, they were just yelling and loud.
We have neighbors over here that the son has just moved in with his mom, like just across the way, and they will scream at each other and curse at each other. Cops have showed up, and it's so funny because like Natalie and I both become like 80 years old. Whenever you hear it slightly over the TV, we'll kill the TV. I don't know if they can hear us out there, but we will. We'll kill the TV.
Oh, absolutely.
And just sit and listen.
Yeah.
And it's just like, one of the best things was, it's only funny because I know it's his mom. And it's him leaving. And he's like, you know what? Don't find me. You don't find me. You don't find you. Find you. You're fucking weird.
That's the best slam ever.
I imagine that beforehand. She just went, you know what? Fine. Whatever. And he just, fine? You don't find me.
You roll the scene back. Yeah. You're like, what led up to that moment?
That was all I heard. Was, fine? You don't find me. Find you. You're fucking weird. He gets in his car. He goes, you'll never see my ass again. And then cut to next morning. He's leaving for work.
Oh, yeah. One day there will come a time when it's going to be completely silent. And then days later, the smell. It's going to happen. Yeah.
Well, now Rocky will know.
Yeah.
The new level of annoyance that I get now is Natalie, now that she works from home, she's become the neighborhood watch.
Oh, good.
So she'll call me and be like, Justin. No, mind you, she's inside our house.
Right.
And she's on a cell phone. She'll be like, Justin, I just want you to know they're fighting again. I go, okay. Okay, do you think I should call the cops? I go, dear, what difference is it going to make if you call the cops?
Like, they come already.
They're going to just fight. You know. I go, by the time you call them, the fight's going to be, by the time they show up, the fight's going to be over.
Right.
You know
and
what
then
I mean?
They'll fight some more when the cops come.
Exactly.
Yeah, I told you to shut up.
And she's like, well, I just don't want him to hurt her. And I go, well, you could call me an a-hole, but I feel like if we call, this is what I said. I go, I feel like if we call the cops, we're enabling because... people don't change until they hit rock bottom. And maybe it's him beating up on his mom or hurting her. I said, because these are, they're just, here's the thing. She's a lovely lady. I like her a lot. I don't know why all of a sudden in the last 3 months, her life has turned into white trash Christmas. I don't know what, I don't know what made it that way. I'm not, I don't care.
Bing Crosby.
I don't know. Like, and then there's, speaking of which too, the crazy cat lady walked by one time and we just heard her go, fuck, get away from that fucking asshole's house. Like, she was talking to one of her little dogs that follow her around when she's Play-Doh or whatever.
Talking about you, your house? Or
I don't know. We were trying to figure out because I'm the only dude that's on this end of the thing. And so I'm like, I wonder, because she's a hoarder. She has like two garages back, filled with stuff.
The city made her empty them out, right? Because they were so filled with the urine?
Nope.
Oh, it stunk bad.
The property manager, when moved in, said everybody has to clear their stuff out because they had a huge rat infestation because she was storing a buttload of dog food. And she buys that Dick Van Patten all-natural dog food that you could eat out of a can, and I really like to daydream about the fact that her and her dogs are eating the same exact food because it's just cost effective for
Dick Van Patten brings rats.
Yep.
Does it bother you that a crazy cat lady isn't fond of you?
No. Well, here's the thing.
I think it's better because if she were fond of him, Justin's the Worsham's the kind of people that will attract crazies.
Oh, yeah.
So it's better that they don't. No, it's true.
No, we don't.
You don't
name
chew,
how many crazy people do we have
off the air? But if they have just an ounce of kindness to them, these people will entertain them. They'll be in the house watching TV with them, hanging out because they
I would never let.
It's
so
not
here's
true.
The thing.
You'd be letting them over. You'd be taking care of the cats on weekends. It's true.
No, I wouldn't. There are very few people that I'm willing to. Here's the thing. 10 years ago, like guy who's embarrassed by a guy telling him about a dog licking his balls with butter. Yes, that guy helps everybody out. The Justin you're looking at today, very
few
people. I've really decided that there are people that I get a vibe from that I will literally do whatever they ask me to do if it's within my means. Like if you call me up and say, hey, I need a ride to the airport. Sure. If I can take it, I'll do it. Yes, please. Of course. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to, it's not going to hurt me. You know what I mean? Like it can't. So to me, if I'm going in there, like all I can think about is that chick contributes 98.6 degrees of Fahrenheit to the world around her. And that's it. The rest is just taking in space, taking and ruining the washer dryer with her filth every time she uses it here. Like
that cat, she burned an effigy in front of your house.
That was weird.
Creepy.
Cause I was like, creepy. Is she trying to be like racist that she's like burning this black cat on a cross in front of my house because I was offended.
I'm offended right now.
And I'm intrigued. Is it a holiday or
might have been crazy hoarder holiday?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have crazy hoarder. I don't know. Maybe you look through Google Calendar, see if you could subscribe to that interesting calendar.
On this day we burn a cat.
A neighbor we dislike.
But, it started in North Hollywood, California.
But my relationship with everyone here is there was a time when I wanted everybody to be neighborly. Now my feelings are, I don't really care if you don't like me, and I don't need you for anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
I'm a door locker. I'm a door slammer, locker, closer, offer guy.
Yeah.
In your own home?
I think maybe in life, actually. I just got become a little bit more kind of isolated or whatever, except with my, close personal friends.
Yeah.
Like all you people out there.
Good radio tone.
Exactly.
Good.
But you know what I mean? Like you get burned, you know?
Well, for me, I don't know. Maybe it is.
It's cynical.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't get burned, but I feel like I'm losing energy. Like I have a child now.
Are you 20 now?
Yeah, 31. I have a child now, and I have a dog that takes a lot out of me, and then I have a marriage, and I have two podcasts, and I travel a lot. So this is what I think about. I'm being honest. Like, I travel a lot for my job, and I love what I do, but it's just like, oh, geez, I guess I'm lazy. And here's the thing. If it takes this much effort for me to live my life, that's just that much less effort that I have to expel on you. But then there's also, because here's the thing too, there are people in my life that I truly, like here's a prime example, Jeremy Carso, who was on the show, a very good friend of mine, a man that I love.
Named his baby after you.
Yes, exactly. I love the man to death.
And me.
I love his kid.
Name.
I don't even know if he listens to this, because this I don't think he does.
I don't think
because
so.
He doesn't love me the same way. That's only funny if Jeremy is listening. And if he's not, then it's still funny because he's not listening and I'm professing. But anyway, like, he's a prime...
Send him a QuickTime email.
He's a prime example of a person that I care about, and he could pick up the phone and say, but I don't talk to him on a regular basis, because, like we talked about, I thought this was interesting. Kevin and I had a conversation where I somehow or another, I had to convince Kevin that I wasn't a narcissist. I don't know how it came about or whatever.
There's something you said that sounded narcissistic.
And he goes, yeah, because you're a narcissist. And I was like, wait, no, that doesn't sound right. But here's the thing, though. Kevin also has a better understanding of the English language than I do. So it's like he could say the word narcissist, just like Chris Carson taught me that karma isn't what we all think karma is, that it's not
very
about
important.
The vibe you put out in the world and getting it back.
It has to do with reincarnation.
Predetermined destiny or whatever. So anyway, I was like, well, maybe I don't understand what narcissist is, because I don't think narcissist is a good thing.
But and everything I'm describing is great.
But I also think that narcissist to me is somebody who, like, is self-absorbed and always worries about themselves and everything, and thinks
that's
everything
right,
is about
correct,
them, right?
Yeah, that's what a narcissist
so
is.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, no, I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. I'm saying that I don't think what's wrong with that interpretation of me. That's what I'm saying, because I don't think that's who I am. And I go, no, I'm saying that because it was all because of this. This is a long, I'm using way too many words.
You're very verbose. Do you know what that word means?
I don't like your tone. So my point was, is that I recently had this moment where I had a great career week, where these things, like two or three great things happened, and I was appreciative. And I thought, I'm like, you know what? I think there are a lot of people who care about what I'm doing. And I know that I now have fans of what I do, that people that extend beyond just friends or acquaintances, that there are people who like my comedy and now they follow me because of it. Right. So it's like, well, I'll send a thank you to those people, because without all, especially the friends and the family, which are a bigger chunk of that at this point in my career, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I said, I realize that people do care, but I always think that they don't, right? And that's when Kevin misunderstood what I was saying. He was like, well, yeah, because you're a narcissist. And I was like, wait, what? No, I don't think I'm
The way he said it, it made it sound like, I think your exact phrase was, I never understand why these people don't care. It was something to that end. Yeah.
So you heard me say don't care. What I said was care. I never understand why these people care, because my assumption is like what we have in the beginning of this, in the intro that you heard. It's like, I'm always surprised that people listen. Every time I look and see a certain number of downloads, especially if it increases, it's a genuine surprise. I'm like, hey, wow, that's great. People are actually telling people about it. Maybe if I thought they should, maybe if I was more narcissistic, I could motivate the listeners to tell friends and help increase
it. So so you have the ability to motivate other people to listen based on your own desire. Have you been listening to The Secret?
No. I've heard it.
Do you have a wish board?
So I can't even remember why I got into this. But anyway, the story was is that I don't even know why.
This is fascinating.
No, it's not.
This is fascinating.
See, this is how
Brian, what's going on with you?
How dare you? How can I be narcissistic when I would just bail on this? Like, I don't...
Well, I think you have to be a little narcissistic just to be in the business you're in anyway. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll fail. So I think you are a...
I think I'm interesting, but I don't...
Now you're being narcissistic.
He doesn't know what that means.
Oh, okay. Verbose.
Smaller word. Oh, well, that's been our show, everybody.
Hey, we've learned a little something about Justin.
We did. Everybody learned a little bit about everything.
Brian, do you have any plugs? Anything you want to tell the world about? Anything?
You want to give out your address so people can come in and experience your locked door?
No, you said plugs and nothing I want to show, but...
hey, wait a minute.
No, you can watch Gormiti or Bleach or Naruto on television and listen for my voice. It sounds a little something like this. Hey, how you doing? And that's it. You'll see me in the park running like mad.
Awesome.
When's your next marathon? Do you have one scheduled?
I wanted to do New Orleans at the end of this month.
I'm with your Lafayette?
With my Lafayette, yes. With my fleur-de-lis.
You know, it's funny because I would think that you're the one saying it wrong.
All right. On behalf of our wonderful guest, Brian Beacock, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye. Thanks for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You can reach us at 408-228-4911 or send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. Please, once a month, vote for us at Podcast Alley. Also, check out our store at cafepress.com/justincomedy. All this information is available at secondfunniestpodcast.com. Valentine's Day, I'm going to be at the Big Laugh event in Atascadero, California. February 11th, I'm going to be at the Ice House Main Room at 9 o'clock for the APLA fundraiser. I'm going to be at the Sacramento Punchline March 11th through 14th. The Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, March 17th through 21st. April 28th through May 1st, I'm going to be at the Pechanga Casino with Darren Carter in Temecula, California. I'm going to be co-headlining at Wits End in Westminster, that's in Denver, near Denver, Colorado, July 14th through 18th. I'm going to be coming back to Rooster Teeth Feathers July 22nd through 25th. For all of my stand-up appearances, check out justincomedy.com. If you like this podcast, check out my other podcast called Dads Are More Fun. You could go to dadsaremorefun.com or just search for Dads Are More Fun in iTunes.